The question is that how do we differentiate between the mind and the heart when we say put your heart in service? So how do you know what is the heart and what is the mind? Should I objectify the mind, thinking of it as someone separate from me, so that I can deal with it properly? Yes. See, firstly, terms are multivalent. It's not the same term has same meaning in all contexts. There is a concept and there is a term. So you can envision a concept is like a suitcase, and a term is like a handle for pulling that suitcase. So the concepts are mental, terms are verbal. And so terms are verbal tools for accessing intangible concepts. Now the word mind and the word heart are terms, they are like handles. But things become complex because, you know, if I am I'm collecting my luggage at the carousel, and if the only thing I remember about my suitcase is the handle, but there will be 10 suitcases which have the same handle, and I just say, oh, my suitcase is red, has a red handle, and pick it up. Is this my suitcase? Not my suitcase. So I shouldn't just be looking at the handle alone. I have to actually look at the, I should also know what the suitcase is. So like that, sometimes we just get caught in words and don't focus on the concepts. So firstly, the word heart itself has many meanings. For when we say, oh, you broke my heart, we are not referring at that in the biological organ heart, isn't it? That heart is not broken, that heart is fine. We are looking to the heart as a seat of emotion. So the heart itself has, word heart itself has two meanings. Similarly, the word mind, it has multiple meanings. So for example, it is said Einstein was the greatest scientific mind of the last century. Now this mind means intelligence or intelligent person. Or sometimes give it your full mind. Your mind means attention. Or sometimes there's a low ceiling, it means mind it. Mind your head. Mind your head means be cautious. Be cautious, be alert, be intelligent. So the word mind can have multiple meanings. The word heart can have multiple meanings. As I said, the words are like handles. So we have to understand which handle belongs to which suitcase. So when we are talking about the mind, when the Bhagavad Gita uses it, it refers to the mind in a particular sense. It says that the mind refers to that inner thing which often works against our interests, which is short term, which is impulse driven, which is feeling driven. Now different people may call it by different names. In the Native American tradition, they say there's a good dog inside you and there's a bad dog inside you. So because the bad dog is like the mind. So we shouldn't get too bogged up in the name itself. The point is, there is something inside us which is impulsive, which pushes us into actions which we later regret. That is the mind. So we have to control the mind. That means, don't act impulsively. That is the essential point of saying that discipline the mind, train the mind. So there is definitely this impulsive thing inside us. And it is good to personify, to deal with that. So for example, if I say somebody was dieting, and they say, I'm not going to eat this or that. And then, if somebody else comes and tells them, eat this, they'll often say very proudly, I'm not going to eat this. But if that same desire comes from inside, why don't you eat that? Yeah, nobody's looking, let me go and eat it. So what happens? When the same desire comes from inside, we go and indulge in it, because we think it's my desire. But actually, it's coming from the mind, and the mind is different from me. So we often think of inside and outside from the reference of the body. Okay, this is my body, so whatever is inside me is me, and whatever is outside is external. But actually, if you understand I am the soul, from the soul's perspective, the mind is also external. And the thoughts inside the mind are also outside me. So the part of us which makes us act impulsively, that is what we refer to as the mind. From the Bhagavad Gita's perspective. So when we say we should control the mind, discipline the mind, that essentially means don't act impulsively. And then the voice which is impulsive, so it is good to personify. That means if I feel like doing something. If say right now we are all a part of this class, you're here in the class, suddenly we feel a voice. No, I have to check my phone, maybe I got some messages. So you can think, if at this point, if a person sitting next to me told me, why don't you check your phone? Would I have done that? Maybe I would have, maybe I would not have. But just treating the mind the way we would treat another person, it removes the immediacy. It removes the identification with it. And then we evaluate objectively. Sometimes we might be, there might be some emergency and we might need to check a message. It's fine. But we won't just act on it thinking I should do it, or because I should do it because it's my desire. We will evaluate it critically. So to personify the mind, to objectify the mind is good. To treat it as another person whose opinions we don't have to summarily reject, but whose opinions we don't have to uncritically accept either. We have to objectively evaluate. Now, moving onwards with respect to the heart. So, in terms of the Bhagavad Gita, the heart is more or less the same as the soul. Because this heart refers to the seat of emotions. And consciousness and emotions, they originate from the soul. So, we should put our heart in service. That means, you know, put your emotions, put your whole consciousness, put your full effort in that service. So, the heart refers to the soul, whereas the mind refers to the thing inside us which makes us act impulsively. That is the difference between the two. Does it answer your question? Thank you. Thanks. Yes, Prabhu.